Well, I was holding it down too long. All right, Psalm 147 in verse 15. We're going to talk about cold and warmth in the Bible and some lessons we can learn from that about how God uses it in our life and uses it as an illustration. Psalm 147, verse 15 through 18. He, that is the Lord God, He sends out His command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out His hail like morsels. Who can stand before His cold? I couldn't. He sends out His word and melts them. He causes His wind to blow and the waters flow. Father, bless Your word to our hearts now in Jesus' most sweet and precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. The great and wise God of the universe, the creator of all things visible and invisible, has for His definite purposes done things in His creation to show us precious lessons, eternal lessons from the Word. In fact, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ are in the universe all around us. We don't know why, and Brother Keith said this, and he was absolutely right, why we go to sleep. Other than that, the strongest possibility is our brains have to process all the things that we've seen and heard and felt and smelled and touched that day, and it's got to arrange it into these cabinets, and the only way to get that to happen is to cause us to be dead to the world for a while it does all this organizing. And so when we sleep, isn't that in the Bible that talking about God's children, that when we die, it's actually just like sleeping over and over again? The New Testament says we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. So many verses. The death of the wicked is not mentioned that way, but the death of God's children is just considered like going to sleep. We don't fear going to sleep. We may be afraid of nightmares, but we don't fear rest. We long for it. I wish they gave me an hour rest every day at work. I would take advantage of that. I'd take a few minutes to eat my food real quick and then sleep the most measure of the time. And so He has His reasons in His creation for so many things. As Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night shows knowledge. And in Romans chapter 1, it tells us, you know, that the creation reveals that God is just, that He is righteous, that you'll reap what you sow, that He's holy. And so Psalm 19 says, all men are without excuse. God has revealed Himself in His creation. And then Romans chapter 1 says the same thing. God has revealed His power and His righteousness in His creation. And we could go through all that, but we don't have the time right now, other than to say that there are heavenly messages. As Jesus preached, He would preach heavenly messages from the lilies of the field, the precious pearl, the birds of the air. He talked about the vineyards. He talked to us about the plowing the field, sowing the seed, reaping the harvest, winnowing the grain fields. In our text, we see how the Lord speaks to us by the cold snow, the icy frost, and by how He makes it to melt away. So as God works in every part of His creation to fulfill His eternal design and plan, so He works in every area of your life to fashion you to His eternal will for you. I had started to mention about the death and resurrection of Christ, but every time we get a chance to go to sleep, I worked graveyard last night, but let's just use the common language. In the evening, it grows dark and we fall asleep. But do we stay asleep? No, just like the sun rises in the east, we rise too. And if somebody had been quiet enough in our dead sleep, they'd been quiet enough, they could have dismantled our house from around us. They could have taken all our goods if they were just quiet enough. And because we were basically dead to the world. We had crashed and burned. We were asleep. But we don't stay asleep. We get up. And so of that picture, the picture of the seasons, how that right now it's still winter time until when? Or did spring come March 21st or something? Okay, so it's spring now. But death, you know, the trees, a lot of the trees lose their leaves. Everything is under the cold, like in a lot of part of the United States and around the world. It's buried underneath the snow. And but then the snow begins to melt during the spring. And what happens? But a new life is born. New life comes. The birds start chirping and mating, and the bunny rabbits start mating, and the deer start mating. And so there's new life. And so there's that picture of the spring. And, of course, the summer of our lives when things were full of memories. We longed for summer, longed for freedom. And then here comes the fall. It's like a Russian proverb, let every falling leaf remind you of the temporary nature of your life with every leaf that falls. And so God works in every part of his creation. He works in every area of your life to fashion you for his eternal purpose for you, just like he has a reason, everything. I mean, even the sunrise and the sunset, you know, we see the sunrise and then it goes down. But does it stay down? Is it eternal darkness? No, the sun rises again. And so the Son of God was born. He was the light of the world, the day spring from on high, the bright and morning star, the Son of Righteousness. He died for our sins, but he didn't stay down. He came back, and he rose again. And so we see that picture. We can see all kinds of animals that hibernate, all kinds of plants that hibernate, all kinds of frogs that hibernate, and insects that hibernate. It's a picture of death and a picture of resurrection during the spring. So as we look at this, God works in every part of his creation to fulfill his eternal design and plan. So he works in every area of your life to do his will in you and according to his plan for you. So that's the first lesson. All life and creation is a handiwork of God. Look at verse 15 again. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the water flows. So how active is God in his creation? Very active. It's some of the wonders of the planets and the stars just totally amaze you. The way that your body is fearfully and wonderfully made by God, to where you can build up your immunity or sustain your immunity to so many things, is just amazing. But God works directly in creation. Rain is mentioned about 100 times in the Bible, and in every place it says that God sent it. In three places, it doesn't say it in the same verse, but in the context of that verse, it says he sent it. Every time rain is mentioned, God sends it. So let's be careful when it's raining not to disparage a miracle. Rain in and of itself, if you study the subject of rain, it's a miracle. Snow is miracle after miracle, zillions of miracles falling down at the same time. And it says here, that Mother Nature does it, right? Oh, it doesn't say anything about Mother Nature. It says the great Creator, God Almighty himself, he does it. Mother Nature is not, there is no such thing as Mother Nature. It's the creation of God. And when people want to use the word Mother Nature, they're divorcing God the Creator from that and putting it on some mythical creature that doesn't exist. He causes it to snow in these verses. He gives snow. Every little snowflake is a handiwork of God. And it takes zillions of them. Now, this has always amazed me. I lived in Chicago for close to 5 years, right? I saw a lot of snow. I've seen it start raining the second week in October, and there still be snow on the ground at the first week of May. And I couldn't believe that anybody would want to live there. The only reason I was there is because I wanted to finish school. I hated change. I didn't want to quit. So I finished. But the snow is beautiful, I'll admit, when you can sit inside and stay warm, have a cup of hot chocolate or Diet Pepsi or whatever you like, and you don't have to work in it. But when you have to work in it day after day, and I've had to be on my back putting chains on tires and get out of that slush and just be cold. It is not fun. Snow is not beautiful anymore after you have to work in it for a while. When you can just watch it from a distance, yeah, it's got a beauty to it. But it is not beautiful when you have to work in it. But every little snowflake comes from the fingers of God, comes from the will of God. Each and every hailstone, according to these verses, has its own appointed path and purpose from God. Since a tiny snowflake can't fall to the ground unless it is planned, fashioned, sent, and guided by God, nothing can come into your life that is not planned and sent and appointed by God. If that much care is taken for a snowflake, then they're all little miracles. They really are. Rain is a miracle. Snow is a miracle. We'll talk about that more in just a second. Since a tiny snowflake can't fall unless it comes from the hand of God, nothing can come in your life this year that Jesus has not sent to you or allowed in his great and wise plan for you. Jesus said, "You are much more valuable than all the sparrows. You are more valuable than all the lilies of the field. The very hairs of your head are labeled. They're numbered. In all creation, only man and women and angels are created in God's image. Christ only died for humankind, not the angels, not the plants, not the creation. He died only for man and woman. He died only for humankind. The angels are servants to none but God and his children. They're servants to the children of God and they're servants of God. They refuse worship. They do exactly what God wills in heaven and earth. And so we are very precious in his sight. And then secondly, we learn here that nothing is too hard for the Lord. As we saw that verse where it says here, he gives snow. Is miracles by the multitude, miracles by the zillions. Is it too difficult to make them by the zillions to cover the mountains and valleys? Or so individually unique like God does so easily? It is just a miracle that when we realize it, it takes our breath away. I've seen the snow so deep and so long and falling day after day that I've thought, how do we even know that no two snowflakes are the same? Well, we have people studying that and everything, but the miracle is this. Just like our fingerprints are different. Scotland Yard and the FBI, they have fingerprint things. And the closest match they've ever had to two different humans' fingerprints matching still had 17 differences that they could tell. The two hands that had the closest fingerprint to each other still had 17 differences that they could tell. No two snowflakes are the same. And there are zillions of them. No two stars are the same. And there's zillions of them. No two planets are the same. And there's zillions and zillions of those. And it is just amazing the great variety of such a wonderful, miraculous creator. And as we... You know, they made a big skiing thing there in Dubai, and they have to make artificial snow. They can't make a snowflake. All they can do is shave the ice and throw it up by these blowers onto the ski lift thing, or the ski hill there in Dubai in the middle of the desert, where they have all this oil money, and everybody has at least 7 or 8 cell phones, where they have gold and jewelry stores more than they have grocery stores or stores for anything else. And it's a very rich place, but they can't make a snowflake. It's too difficult to make them by the zillions. Miracles are easy with God, and he has great variety of ways to meet your needs. And so as all the snowflakes are different, all the stars and the planets and even our fingerprints are so different. And by the way, in the book of Job, the oldest book of the Bible, 1,600 years ago, it said that every man's fingerprints are different. That you could identify someone by the print on their hands. And so it's just so easy for God to use any person, anything. Or it's like this man, he used to hate God. And he called himself an atheist. And he would go into the town square in the middle of the afternoon when people were going to lunch. And he would shake his fist at God and say, God, if you're real, strike me down now. And start blaspheming God. Why don't you kill me? Why don't you show everybody you're God? Here I am, and I'm saying you don't exist. Shaking his hand at God, blaspheming God. And one day after doing that, he went home. And instead of causing thunder to come down from heaven, he reached into the wood pile to pull out a log, and a poisonous spider bit him on his fingertips. And by the time he got the wood in the house to put in the fireplace, he died. And everybody saw the horrible look on his face, the color in his skin, and everything as they walked by at the funeral. And they could tell he had been judged by God. He doesn't have to have the thunder and the lightning or a robber or a thief to kill you or an automobile. He can just hide one of his little spiders inside a little wood pile that you don't even notice. And when you get bit, you didn't even really feel it because you're gripping onto something or whatever. And many ways. Now, in fact, I knew a preacher. I heard him preach before in West Virginia. And he talked about a million ways to die. And he used some very, they say that truth is stranger than fiction. And some of the things that really happen in life, nobody could imagine. And so he said, there's a million ways to die. He began running off a list of ways to die and said, you might have to pass away tonight. How many of you have ever known somebody, you talked to them one day, and the next morning you found out they had passed away in their sleep or something had happened to them? That's happened with me before. And it makes you think, you know, how can you be here today or tonight and gone so quickly in the morning? But he has a great variety of ways to meet your needs. Every snowflake has something in common. All snowflakes have 6 points. All of them. But what God does with those 6 points is so amazingly awesome that no one that's even studied it, who's tried to prove it, that there are snowflakes the same, has been able to find 2 snowflakes that were exactly the same. So, thirdly, we said, first of all life and creation is the handiwork of God. And there's nothing in your life that God can't change or change your heart to accept it that will make you be more like Jesus. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. He can use any type of measure he wants. I mean, look at the variety of flowers. I mean, roses smell different than gladiolas that smell different than geraniums that smell different than honeysuckles that smell different than orange blossoms that smell different from cherry blossoms. All of these things are so different. Strawberries taste so different than apples, that taste so different from pears, that taste so different from bananas, that taste so different from pineapples, and yet it's all fruit. I mean, I can tell when I'm eating elk, or if I'm eating venison, or if I'm eating beef, or if I'm eating a pork chop, or a ham sandwich, or bacon, and yet they're all in that meat group. They're all from animals. And all this variety God can use to provide miracles for you. Some people are too proud, though, to accept the help of another human being. And you shouldn't be that way, because God will often use people, if you're praying for something, God will often use people at the right time and the right place to help you. God used ravens to feed Elijah by the brook Cherith. God multiplied the grain in the jar and the oil and the oil for the other jars to provide for a widow. God can use anything at any time. Peter said, "Lord, they're asking us if we pay taxes." Jesus said, "This is what you'll do to pay the temple tax: go cast a fish in the lake, or go cast a hook in the lake." And the fish that comes up, can you imagine a fish just biting a bare hook? But a fish came and bit it. Apparently it likes shining things. There is a fish in the Sea of Galilee that likes shining things. And so some fish hit the shiny lures. And so Peter cast it in the water. Jesus said, "Open its mouth and you'll find more than enough money for your and my taxes." So Peter did, went there, found a fish, or the fish bit it. He opened its mouth, and there was a gold coin right there on its mouth. And Jesus controls he commands the winds and the waves and says, "Be muzzled." That's what the "peace be still" means. And when it says, "Peace be still," it means be muzzled, be quiet, hush. And it happens immediately. And Jesus says, "Are you catching anything, guys?" Peter says, "Nothing. We've toiled all night." Jesus said, "Well, cast your net on the other side of the boat. Cast your net on the right side." And what happens? But it fills up with fish that begins ripping the nets, and they have to have James and John come help them haul up the great number of fish into their boat. Jesus said, "Peter, before you deny me, before you've denied me the third time, or you'll deny me three..." You know about the rooster crowing. I'm having a Biden moment. Forgive me. Except I don't need anybody to change my depends. That's something that's unique to him a few times a day. All right. Oh, you didn't know that. Okay. Every snowflake is unique. And thirdly, God is good in all he does. Is God good in the biting cold and the freezing storms? What good comes from that? How about the death of all kinds of insects and bothersome noxious diseases and pestilences, things that die in the freezing cold and in the freezing storms? He gives snow like wool. Did you see that there in verse 16? He gives snow like wool. Do you know that the grasses and a lot of bushes are protected from the cold because the snow is covering it? The snow only gets so cold, and it could be a lot colder outside. What does snow begin at? 32 degrees. 32 degrees. But I've been in 30 below weather, and I've been with the wind chill 81 below. And when it finally thawed out, the grass was green. The bushes survived, because the snow was a blanket to them against even more severe cold that would have killed them. So he gives snow like wool. You've seen Eskimos in igloos, haven't you? In the books and on the documentaries. Their house is made out of ice, and it's warm inside. He gives snow like wool. He covers little plants from biting cold. The soil enriching qualities of snow. Snow carries nitrogen with it, which is the main type of fertilizer for plant life and vegetables and fruit trees and so on. And that comes by the snow. Many diseases are killed by the cold that God sends. Scarlet fever is dead when it's cold. Malaria is dead when it's cold. Yellow fever dies in cold weather. Almost every disease that flourishes in the warm climates is killed by the cold. In fact, I was actually asking God during this time, this cold season, rain season, Lord, let it warm up so all these bugs come out. And then sap it again with some cold. I don't like mosquitoes. I don't like the flies being around. I don't like especially the horse flies. They bite and it hurts. I don't like wasps. You know, they don't even taste good. I've had them. I've got stung 3 times in my life on my lip. 1 by a bumblebee, 2 times by wasps. But it keeps back the insect world, because if it didn't, we would be overcome. Our crops would fail. They'd be eaten alive by these noxious insects. And so they multiply by the zillions. And so the cold, dark winter nights and the wintry days, they help to kill zillions of them off. And so it is God who is so good to send storms our way. Remember, it says here the cold is from God. And God is love. God is good. And it is good for us to go through these seasons. I have people that are saying, oh man, it's too cold. I can't wait for the summer. And I tell them, I said, when the summer gets here and it's 100 degrees, you're going to wish for some of these days back. You're going to get in your car and not be able to grab your steering wheel because it'll burn the outer flesh off your hand if you're not careful. You're going to sweat, and you're going to get headaches, and you're going to have mosquitoes bothering you, and you're going to have flies landing on everything. So you'll wish for some of these days back. All these things God uses for our good and for His glory. He kills off zillions of flies and diseases. So God uses the rough things in life many times to keep us close to Him, that our sins, we're willing to put them to death. Sins like being proud or sins like being spoiled rotten. Just think if every day was San Diego weather. The average temperature in San Diego averages out 77 degrees a year. I would love to live in weather that's 77 degrees a year. But I would also get spoiled. And let's talk about this in a spiritual way just quickly, and then we'll pray and take our offering and go get spoiled on some good food the Lord provides for us here. Number 4, creation illustrates God's work in you. Creation illustrates God's work in you. The law is like the cold. The old covenant law is like the cold. It comes you and shows you your need of something outside yourself to cover you. It shows you you need something outside yourself to cover you. When sin came, when Adam and Eve had sinned against God's command to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. Did God accept that? No, there had to be something not of their creation, not of their doing, something from outside that clothed them, something that paid the price. And so, the law is like the cold. It comes and shows you your need of something outside yourself to cover you. In other words, we could say in verse 17 where he says, at the bottom of the verse, who can stand before his cold? Well, who can stand before his holy law? Who can stand before his law? Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not do this. There are everything. And there are other. There are 689 other commands in the old covenant. It cannot clothe you. Its purpose is to reveal your great need of God, to clothe you and cover you. And that's what Genesis shows us, right? When man and woman sinned there in Genesis 3, God doesn't accept their own personal coverings. God slays what is probably a sheep, since that was a picture to Abel and Adam and Eve about the Lamb of God who would come and take away the sins of the world. And God kills the sheep there in the garden. God makes a covering for Adam and Eve, and God himself comes and puts the covering on Adam and Eve. And so the law is like that. It cannot clothe you. It can only show you your great need of God to clothe and cover you. The gospel of grace is pictured in the melting of the ice in verse 18. He sends out his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. And of course, wind is a picture throughout the scripture of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Spirit. And his word is like a fire and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. The warm thaw splits the icy stone. The warmth of God's love and the gospel of his Son melts the cold heart. The goodness of God brings us to repentance. The sweet breath, the wind of the Holy Spirit blows warmly. And then God says, "Behold, the Son of Righteousness, the light of the world, is risen upon you." And it reveals the warm sunshine of Jesus' love to melt the cold, hard heart and make the eyes to flow down with warm tears. Like it says, he causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. Jesus is able to break the heart. Jesus is able to take the ice-cold heart and that which is buried under the coldness of sin and to revive it and give it warmth and cause it to take life. By the way, you know, just I find it interesting that we're so dependent on the sun, yet we can't really look at it that long. When everything we eat that gives us life and sustains life, we're actually eating the power of the sun. We're actually able to see things and navigate our way through the days because of the power of the sun. The deer that eats the grass, you know, that we like to eat the deer, at least I do, I love deer. But what powers up the grass but the sun? And the deer depends on the grass. And it's amazing to me how a black cow can eat green grass and give white milk. And that is just, so many things are so amazing in what God does. And so, creation reveals his great love for you. He made it for your needs, for your uses, your profits, for your dominion, your pleasure. As we read this morning, all things are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God. All things are yours except one thing. All things are yours except one thing. You. You belong to him. You know, it's like the beginning when Satan says, "You shall be your own gods, choosing for yourself what's good and evil." God says, "No. The day is coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that I am Lord for the glory of God." And that you were made for him and you were redeemed for him. Your salvation, like creation, is God's powerful handiwork. He planned you. He fashioned you. He sent and directed it to you. Directed it to you himself. Salvation is of the Lord. God saves sinners. Sinners don't save sinners. God saves sinners. Thank the Lord it is not up to us to save ourselves. How difficult and time consuming it would be for us to melt the ice. You think if we all ran up there, the whole population of San Bernardino could run up there with our hair dryers or our little flame torches and melt all the snow up at Big Bear and everywhere? That would take so long, so very long. And yet in just a week of time, God takes it all down. He melts it all, many times in less than a week. How much God is able to do for you, and how much we need to realize only he can Take a dead heart, dead in trespasses and sins, cold, and make it alive again. Make it warm, make it sensitive to Him. And so let me just encourage you by these words as we'll close. The Lord has made you His unique work. All your troubles, all the rest of the year and all your life, all your troubles will have their reasons. They'll have their directions from a loving Creator's hands to keep you and cover you, to kill that which will hurt you, to make your heart more tender and fertile for growth. It's like the Bible verse says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Your pains, your losses, your brokenheartedness or your sadness, God is able to use all those things to bring you closer to Him, and the good things as well, what we call good things. You know, sometimes we say, Lord, I really want you to bless me, be good to me. God says, you know what would be good for you? Tears. Tears will make you more like my Son. Slander will make you more like my Son. All these other things God will use to cause us to grow strong and to trust in Him only, to put our hope in Him only and not men. How much more care will God use on you this year than all the rest of His creation? I used to like a song when I was a baby Christian. It went, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and stars, sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. So God created everything out of nothing in 6 days, then rested the seventh, as it were, to and all these other reasons. We might get into the Sabbath question another time. But in all of that creation, how long has God been working on you? It took Him 6 days to create the whole universe, things seen and unseen. But He's still working on you. And how loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. As the Lord has zillions of snowflakes, He has zillions of rays of sunshine every moment to give you warmth and light. You know that light is an element too. They can take pictures of it now as it travels. And what is it, 185,000 miles per second? Something like that, an astronomical number. But what's going is photons. Did you know they actually bounce off of things like walls and stuff? We're figuring out now how to, just by flashing light into a house, find out where a criminal is hiding. Because the photons move. And they'll bounce off of objects and reveal somebody hiding. It's amazing, it really is. Let God's Word be your light this year. Let the Lord Jesus be your warm sunshine. He is the light of the world, and He's able to melt the coldness of life. As we close, you know, I've asked people before, what is life? How would you define life? I saw a bumper sticker on a car that says, life is a curse word. Others say, he who dies with the most toys wins. Now we could say, and I like to say, life is an adventure. I get to learn more about God if I pay attention. Or life is a sacred trust. One day I must stand before God and give account for the talents He's given me. And not my sins. Thank God Jesus gave account for those, for all of us who believe on Him. But what would you say life is? I've had more people say, life is hard. It is. And that's why we need to be looking to God for His warmth, for His love, for His protection, for His care. And He can use zillions of ways to do it. Even in the room right now, you know, it's we see the light shining on the walls. But those are actually photons coming at thousands of miles an hour from the sun every moment. How much more willing is God to watch over you and take care of you. You say, but we die. No, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus said, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. I am the resurrection and life. And if a man believe on me, he shall not see death. Our body will go to sleep, but to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And it says in Psalm 116, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, or the death of his children. So let's close in prayer, and we'll pray for the offering and take the offering is what we'll do. Heavenly Father, bless our offering this morning. We pray that you would guide even those of us who are feeble-minded and forgot our offering at home. Lord, we just trust you to take care of us anyway. And we pray that you would bless this offering, this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for your patience with